let's march on this away. When a tree falls in my woods, it might go into an instrument, it might go into firewood, or it might go into some other thing. So I try to make as many things as I can from wood.
Jan Berta loves wood and his woods in southwest Michigan so much that he's decided to protect it from development forever. You're listening to the Nature Stories podcast. I'm Samantha Brown with Atlantic Public Media, curating this podcast in collaboration with the Nature Conservancy and the Public Radio Exchange. Each week we bring you pieces about the intersection of people and place. Up now, Lover of Woods, produced by Elizabeth Meister and Dan Collison with Long Haul Productions.
Okay, shall we head for the woods? Well, we're on the southern, near the southern boundary of my property. It's on top of that hill over there. This is an old growth woods, and this area was never timbered. This is a pretty hefty piece here. Hear that ring? Yeah, that's what we listen for. This is black cherry. I cut it with chainsaws to roughly 3 to 4 inches thickness. On this land, I've been accumulating wood for the guitars that I'm currently building. I started collecting wood from here in 1970. Since then, I've been accumulating wood and storing it. I have what I consider a lifetime supply of black cherry and black walnut. This is a back that is already braced up. I've been building instruments since 1968. And I'm just roughing it with this chisel. I don't really count them now. I'm on my almost about 160 guitars now. One of these smaller guitars I built in less than 60 hours. And considering that I wholesale these for under $600 currently, that nets me, what, $10 an hour by my math? Obviously, one will not get rich doing this. You have to really like this, or there's absolutely no point in even attempting it. Let's go through just this part. We can see some more of the valley here, and then we're going to go where we can see the creek better. This land is untillable by local standards, so none of the farmers around here wanted this. Well, my dad wanted it, and he bought it. It was in 1963 or 64, and it was cheap. I think it was some $85 an acre, something like that, just under 50 acres. And over the years, they both passed away, and the property went to me. Let's march on this away. When a tree falls in my woods, it might go into an instrument, it might go into firewood, or it might go into some other thing. So I try to make as many things as I can from wood. I make a lot of my tools using black cherry. This cabin was built mostly by my father out of aspen logs I helped him drag within 100 yards of here. In 1971, my father and I built a log cabin that was very authentic to the early 1800s. And believe me, that was a pain in the butt. And the building was still there, and I thought, well, maybe I should try to preserve that, and maybe I should try living in it. So this is where I'm currently living until I move into the new home. I have a lot of friends that are musicians that like to come out here, and we'll sit here and drink my beer, because I'm a beer maker. I like homemade type beers. Well, my favorite thing out here is the barred owls. There's a pair of them that will follow me around in the winter. I've grown to appreciate this land to the point where wanting to defend it from anything that would threaten it. Now we're looking down at on our right, this part of the valley here. This is absolutely filled with wildflowers in the springtime. So I contacted the Southwestern Michigan Land Conservancy and requested that I was interested in a conservation easement. So we discussed pretty much in detail what I would allow in the future and what I would like the kibosh to be put on. We discussed what areas around my cabin and my new home that I could have for doing whatever I wanted to do. Told them that I needed a certain amount of firewood each year. I told them that I wanted to maintain my four-wheeler tracks that I have both in the upper level and the lower level. But I pretty much conveyed that, you know, I really wanted nothing else to be done out here, period. And it is in perpetuity, it's forever. Okay, we better head back to... I have students that are eagerly awaiting to learn to be great guitar players. And here comes my first student of the morning. Yeah, this is Bride O'Shaughnessy. She is bringing with her her guitar and her good wits, her magic fingers and good ears and eyes to learn a little bit more about guitar. So,
and this is a Jan Berta guitar that I purchased from him a couple of years ago, I guess. It was a year ago. Yep. And I love it. It's a beautiful guitar. It's a honey-colored guitar, and I'm a beekeeper, and I like that. It's a real sweet, sweet, sweet thing.
Very good. Keep going.
I feel really close to the woods and nature when I'm playing this guitar, because I know all the love that went into it.
People tend to forget how important it is for things like a honeybee to have an environment. When they swarm, I can hear them in trees from time to time, and bees right now are on their demise, especially the honeybee. And you have no honeybees, well, you're not going to have any food. I mean, an integral part, absolutely essential for our existence. And so, you know, the need for the conservation easement is now. Actually, the need for this was 100 years ago, but better late than never.
That's Jan Berta in Southwest Michigan. Lover of Woods was produced by Dan Collison and Elizabeth Meister with Long Haul Productions. To hear more pieces like these, log on to the Public Radio Exchange, prx.org. This podcast is produced with support from the Nature Conservancy, online at nature.org/stories, committed to protecting nature and preserving life. If you have thoughts or feedback about this podcast, send them to podcast@tnc.org. I'm Samantha Brown in Woods Hole, Massachusetts. Join us next week.